Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to our next episode of Beyond the Pew.
We are here, and it's just the two of us for Pastor this episode.
Bruce.
And Pastor Eric Gill.
Throwing it back through a throwback, which is kind of like a norm, somewhat.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, just the two of us today. And we are continuing in some, I believe, important discussions.
These are very important and challenging.
Yes, it's been good to have guests with us this season and to kind of, you know, broaden a little bit of the horizons, if you will, of subject matters that we've talked about. I think it's been beneficial, but I feel like we have a good question this time around as well.
Absolutely. I think that there's been questions from like how to engage our culture to just things about ourselves or things about our God, which is pretty good. And today is, you know, following that same train of thought, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about the idea of theology or the concept of theology.
Yes.
Should a Christian prioritize theology? What is theology? You know, those are things that we're going to be discussing this morning or this afternoon or this evening.
Whenever you're watching.
Absolutely.
And so kind of framing that question of is theology, and people ask this question a lot of times, is theology and studying theology, and we talk about theology, we're talking about the study of God, we're talking about the study of an understanding of God, an understanding of, you know, depending on the area of theology we're talking about, the understanding of salvation or the Holy Spirit or demons, angels, etc., all the different ologies that we could look at. People oftentimes, you know, wonder, is that something I should even care about?
Yeah.
Right? Or is simply reading the Bible enough? And how deep should I go or how deep should I want to go?
Yeah.
And I think those are good questions people are
absolutely
asking.
And I meant to do this and I totally forgot, but I know you know this memorized because I think this is a good place to start. It's in Acts as far as the Bereans.
Yes.
You remember?
The Bereans searched the scriptures.
Acts 16, right? Is it what it is?
Yeah, the reference wouldn't escape my mind right now. But the Bereans were commended.
Commended.
Yes.
By their desire to truly know and even examine what the apostles were teaching and conveying.
Yes.
That they went the extra mile. And I think that's remarkable because we're not talking about, like think about it for a second. It's not a pastor, it's the apostles, individuals that were recognized that they had been with Jesus, that they had the ability to perform signs and gift, you know, heal and miracles and things like that. They were, I mean, if we were to put on a standard, they would have been pretty high up.
Yeah.
And they were known to not just take what they say for lightly, but to examine and study the word of God. And that's remarkable. The Bereans.
Yeah, there was a desire they had to search the scriptures.
Right? Yeah.
And so I think kind of if we could frame this, and I think it's important that we start off with this understanding, we would believe the scriptures, right? And scripture, in the Greek, it's graphe, it's the writings when pen met paper, right? As men were moved by the Holy Spirit and they wrote as they were inspired by the Spirit of God, this is inspired text.
Yeah.
It's of God, right? It's God breathed. And so Paul said something interesting to the Thessalonian believers when he said, when you received the word of God you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe.
Yeah.
And so we have to start with this foundation of having a proper understanding and viewpoint of the word of God and of the Bible. And so if we believe it is from God, it's breathed out by God, and we believe then from that as well, that the word of God is profitable for us, right? That it's profitable, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work is what the Bible tells us. Then I feel like it would naturally lend itself to the conclusion that our study of God and the things of God, theology, is important.
Yeah.
It's very important because it has an impact in all of our areas of life, right?
Absolutely.
And so when the question simply comes at face value, is theology important? Is understanding, knowing God, knowing the scriptures, and our understanding and engaging with our understanding, is that important? I would say absolutely it is.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. When someone says, well, is reading the Bible enough? I feel like that's a false, almost, it's almost like there's a false dichotomy being created that we separate the reading of scripture
as if they're two different
as
things.
As if they're two different things, but they do go hand in hand.
Yeah, proper reading of the scripture should lead you to a place of theology.
And of proper theology, right, as well. And so I feel like we have to start with this understanding, we believe that the word of God is breathed out by God? Do
absolutely.
We believe it's authoritative?
Yeah.
If that is true, then do we also believe that God's word clearly teaches we should be desiring to study and know the word?
Yeah.
That is true.
That is true.
Right? And so if that is true, then yes, theology should matter. Now, I will say that there are two kind of dangers here, right, when we get into this discussion. You know, if you were to think of any dangers, what would you say any dangers would be?
Be obsessed.
Okay.
Puff of knowledge is a good.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about it in, is it Colossians? Talks about it.
Well, knowledge puffs up.
Yeah.
Right? And and so we're told in the Word of God that we need to be careful that we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to.
Yeah.
And that knowledge can puff up. So we all know individuals probably that are so consumed with knowledge in their understanding and theology that that's all that matters to them is the knowledge aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous thing.
Absolutely.
Because it can also alienate people.
Yeah. And then you have the other extreme, which is like, you know, like, I don't want to be argumentative. I don't want to, like, I just want to do the basics and focus on that, which it sounds good. But again, like, if we don't know why it's that we're doing things, it's just as bad, you know?
Yes. And I believe we see an example set in scripture, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, that the follower of God, the believer in God, the follower of Christ should have a desire to understand and know all that they can know and all that they can understand about God.
Yeah.
And I think you see that in both the Old Testament and New Testament. And so I would make and argue the case today that theology does matter and theology should matter to the believer in Christ.
Absolutely.
And that we really should be engaging with that. And I want to give a couple of reasons why.
Absolutely.
Here, but.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's a way of like, to bring everything we said together, because you said, you know, the importance of theology, but also what theology should do. I think Paul David Tripp, he makes a good a statement when it comes to this, where he talks about, you know, think of love acts or actions as believer, right? He said, theology without love is bad theology, and love without theology is bad love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you think about theology, as we're diving into what you have, the importance of doing, of recognizing that proper theology leads us to a place of proper action. Proper action, it's only possible with good theology.
Yeah.
So you need both. To separate the two is not wise or appropriate, you know? And so as we're digging into this idea of understanding God, you know, it's something for us to keep in mind.
Yeah. And a lot of times when this question comes up as far as should I dig deep, should I desire to dig deep, should I want to know more as far as knowledge, an argument against it I hear people say is like, listen, the person that I'm trying to share Christ with doesn't necessarily care about the hypostatic union, theologically defining that.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily care for me to be able to define for them what dispensationalism means or covenant theology means. And they don't necessarily care about a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib rapture. And they're right, right? But my argument would be, you know, that does not then negate the necessity of the individual believer to know God and grow in their knowledge of God. And a lot of times we make it as though you can't do both.
Yeah.
You can't study and know the scriptures and desire to know the scriptures and at the same time be faithfully sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Well, you can do both and you should do both is my argument.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they don't have to be one or the other, right? It's both. And truly our theology has a tremendous impact. Our understanding of God, study of God, you know, if we're talking about theology proper, God the Father, we're talking about Christology, we're talking about the study of Christ. Our theology and understanding of God and study of God has a direct impact on our evangelism, has a direct impact on our gospel presentation, has a direct impact on our viewpoint of the lost, on the viewpoint of those that are saved.
Yeah.
It impacts all areas
absolutely.
Of life.
Like a good example, think of the study of the Holy Spirit, pneumatology.
Yeah.
If for you as the person who's sharing it, if you don't understand all the intrinsics or all the that it goes with the Holy Spirit, one, you will not recognize. You may be short of recognizing that that it is God through you, that is God working through you in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the place of sharing the gospel, the importance of recognizing that, you know, it is not on my own strength, that it's with the help of God through me, you know, recognizing the ability to serve the Lord. You know, you may think that you're not capable of serving the Lord because you're not good at doing X, Y, and Z. And yet, if you study the Holy Spirit, you realize that the Holy Spirit empowers you to be able to serve, you know, with special gift.
And a lot of people get intimidated.
Yeah.
Like they think this is something only people who go to seminary study theology. And a lot of people don't realize it. And some of this might be, you know, the fault of the preacher, right? Yeah. Of not pointing out sometimes when we're looking at various texts of scripture. So for example, you utilize the Spirit of God, right? Or spiritual gifts. This is vitally important in our understanding of theologically pneumatology, which is the study of the Spirit. There's so many passages of scripture where there's deep and rich theology in it about God and about the Spirit of God and about Christ and about our salvation that a lot of times from the pulpit, we're not necessarily saying, now listen, for those of you interested in soteriology and salvation, this is soteriological truth.
Yeah, like,
we don't do that because practically speaking for the person sitting in the pew, they're asking the question of like, how do I just honor God at my workplace?
Yeah, yeah.
But what they're not realizing a lot of times because we don't connect the dots is this has a big part in that,
right?
Big
influence,
and how that it lives out. So,
and that's something that I really love. It's in Acts. Like, it's early on in the ministry of the disciples. But think about the disciples, who they were. Like they were in the elite of the elite. You know,
no, they were called by the untrained men. Called, right?
But look how they're described in the book of Acts. They say that we like the verse says we were astonished because we realized that these men had spent time with Jesus. Like they were not eloquent in their speech because of their educations or their background. They didn't go to seminary. Yeah. They didn't do, you know, Bible Institute. They didn't.
I mean, their qualifications, they had been with Jesus.
They had been with Jesus. That was the criteria that they had. You know, we can tell that they have been with Jesus. Yeah. And so for that to remove the challenge of like, hey, it doesn't matter what background you have. We should desire to get to know him.
Yeah.
You know?
And what I'd like to do is really give some reasons that I feel this does matter, right? And if people are listening and they're thinking, like, I've never really cared about theology or studying deeply the Word of God or understanding God on a deeper level, I just want to give some reasons why it matters. Yeah. First, I do feel like it's commanded. You know, 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was a young pastor. So some people could be like, well, see, Paul was just writing that Timothy was a young pastor. That is a consistent challenge that Paul gave to believers in various churches, and even in specifically when it came to being able to identify and test the spirits when it comes to the teaching, right, that's happening within the church and outside the church, that we need to know the Word of God, and we need to be diligent in our study of the Word of God, because there are many false teachers that are in the world. That was the case back then. It's the case right now. And how is it that we can properly identify false teaching? Well, it's by knowing the true teaching, right? The true teaching of God's Word. And so when you think about this, there's a responsibility on the shoulder of the believer, because it's commanded by God to study, to be diligent in our study of the Word of God, to receive the Word of God as the Word of God, but also to have the ability to be able to discern right teaching and wrong teaching because we understand and know the scriptures.
And you have in the Old Testament Ezra, you know, as an example with their limited version of the God of God, of the Word of God, and how he devoted himself to study day and night.
Yeah. I mean, that's the psalmist, right? He says, you know, your word is my delight. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or in the seat of the sinner. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Read Psalms 119 entirely. Yeah. It's about the Word of God. And you see, and the reason why I'm bringing up the Old Testament too is because you see in their short version of the Word of God, the limited version.
Yeah, the law that they had.
Yeah. They already were devoted to study it, and they love it, and they appreciate it. And for us today who have the complete Word of God, you know, we should be responding in the same way.
Yeah. There's a passage I love that I always think about when this area comes up is in Daniel chapter 1. And in Daniel chapter 1, the context there is you have, you know, Jews are in exile in Babylon, and, you know, the four kind of well-known individuals in the book of Daniel are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, mm-hmm. and Daniel. And their names initially, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But in Daniel chapter 1, what's really interesting, and I'll just read these verses, verses 17 to 20. It says, "As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." Again, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "Therefore, they stood before the king, and in," this is what really strikes me, "and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his mm-hmm. kingdom." And what was very interesting to me is that, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were so well learned and so well, educated here as far as what they studied. And God gave them that understanding yeah. and knowledge and wisdom, of course. But as they were examined, they were more knowledgeable than all those that were in the land. And that tells me, okay, they were diligent in their study and in mm-hmm. their understanding, but not just of the Word of God, but also in the understanding of all the things that were going on during that time period and what the beliefs were and what people were ascribing to. And I feel like that was huge for me, because I'm like, man, like, I feel like the believer in Christ not only has a responsibility to be engaged with and have an understanding of theology and of God and knowledge of God, but also we need to also have an understanding of the world that we're seeking mm-hmm. to reach with the gospel mm-hmm. and understand what's happening in the world yeah. in which we're seeking to reach, and understand the belief and understanding of where people are at in their beliefs, so that we can approach them with the gospel in the correct way.
Yeah.
And so that's really challenging to me really when is. I see that, because they were really diligent about their study. And then obviously passages that people would maybe be familiar with listening in 2 Peter, where Peter talks about growing in the grace and knowledge mm-hmm. of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in that, there should be a consistent growth. And Peter even references Paul's epistles in that passage in 2 Peter 3, where he talks about some of the things that Paul wrote are hard to discern, mm-hmm. but he's telling them that they should be yeah. growing in their knowledge. Yeah. And so that means even growing in our knowledge and understanding of hard things that the Word of God yeah. teaches. Colossians chapter 1 says it as well, where it talks about how we're to walk worthy of the Lord and increasing in the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you read any of the context of those verses, the knowledge of God is not just knowledge as it relates to head knowledge of the Word, mm-hmm. but also, you know, fellowshipping and understanding and knowledge of even the sufferings of Christ
yeah.
and participating in the sufferings of Christ as we live out God's calling in our lives. And so I feel like there is a biblical precedent that has been set,
yeah.
both Old Testament and New Testament, that as a believer in Christ, as a follower of Christ, as a one who has faith in God, that there's a desire to know God, right? And yeah. how do we know God greater? How do we grow in our knowledge of God? Well, primarily it's through the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Certainly through God using us, and through, you know, experience that we have as we follow God, through other believers that are impacting us, through the Spirit of God, you know, leading and directing. But primarily how yeah. we grow in our knowledge of God is God has revealed himself through the Word.
Yeah.
And that's where we should be growing and studying it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's important on so many fronts.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, false teaching that's in the world. How do you combat false teaching?
Yeah.
How do you respond to false teaching? How do you even know it's false without a growing in our knowledge of God and yeah. understanding of God?
Yeah. And I would say, yeah, like your understanding of God or your study of God would impact how you view God.
Yeah.
It would impact how you view yourself.
Yeah.
It would impact how you view the people that you're trying to reach and the world that we live in.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, there you see there like all the priorities as to why this is something that we should invest and why this is something that we should spend the time.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it earlier, like you may be listening and you're like, well, like I don't have the time, or like that's too complicated, that's too all this, you know, X and Y. But think about it for a second. Like, we're talking about knowing and understanding the God that made it possible for you and I to have our relationship with him. We're talking about the one that made, that sacrificed his son for your sake and my sake so that we could have a relationship with him. Wouldn't we want to know him more?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't we want to spend the time and study it and learn from him and see what he's about?
Yeah.
I mean, you're married for how many years now?
Be 22 years coming up here. That's in June, 22. Wow.
That's a while. But I'm sure
it feels like days, Eric.
It feels like days. Wow, that's what I'm going with. Good job. You were reading my mind. But I mean, and this is a very minor way to portray this argument. I mean, this doesn't even compare in reality to what we're talking about. But nonetheless, like, you fell in love with your wife, and I'm guessing, or I will bet, that you wanted to know all about her.
Sure.
And the more you've been with her, the more you want to continue to learn about her, right? Is that true?
Sure. Absolutely.
And that is where your spouse, like, what, how much more emphasis should we put into our Heavenly Father? Again, the one that made it possible for us to have a relationship with him.
And this would go back to, you know, initially the question of, is it important? Is it something? I would say absolutely. But the why is what I think we have to help people understand. Yeah. And we have to understand ourselves, right? Yeah. Why is theology important? Mm-hmm. And I think for anybody listening that would say, I don't think it's important. And I would say, well, let me tell you why I think it is.
Yeah.
One, because as you mentioned, we should desire to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the God that we serve, the God that created us, the God that has saved us. So why theology? A greater understanding and knowledge of God, you know, is going to completely transform our thinking as we serve the God that we serve, right? Have you ever read a passage of scripture and after you read it and you're like, wow, like that really makes sense?
Yeah.
Where you see the grace of God or the love of God or the holiness of God on display and you walk away thinking like, wow, like that impacts me. Like knowing that the God that I love and serve did that or says that or has revealed that, like my viewpoint of like, if I have a proper understanding of God when it comes to prayer, like a theology and understanding of prayer, and I truly understand the ear of God, the listening ear of God. I mean, we read in the Psalms this past week in one of our staff meetings about David referring to God as the one who hears prayers. That's how he referred to God. Yeah. The one who hears prayers. And I like sat for a minute and thought, that's an incredible statement to make about God. Yeah. He is the one who hears prayers.
Yeah.
He's the only one who hears prayers.
Yeah.
The only God who hears prayers is our God, you know, and that impacts us. Or later on in that psalm, it may have been the next psalm where he speaks about the fact that the river of God is full of water. And I'm like sitting back thinking in my mind, what an incredible statement to say about God. The river of God is full of water. In other words, like God has, you know, unlimited what he could do and what he has available to him. But as we understand the character of God and grow in our understanding and knowledge of who God is, it is not, the why is not simply so that we can increase in knowledge.
Yeah.
The why is so that we can increase in our love and understanding and, you know, just amazement at who God is.
Yeah.
And what I would say to anybody listening that maybe has struggled with this area of wanting to grow in the area of theological study or understanding is I promise you that if you go to the scriptures and you do what is necessary to seek to understand God and know God through the scriptures, that it will cause you to have a greater appreciation for the God that you serve. It will cause you to have greater confidence as you serve him, but it will also move you to even greater level to actually put into practice what God's word says, because you know God will be faithful and you know that there will be impact in the place that God is sending you. Mm-hmm. And I feel all of that is a byproduct of our understanding and growing in our knowledge of God. And again, that's the why. The why isn't so that I can just say I know more. The why isn't to puff up. The why isn't so that I just can be able to have an argument with someone and run circles around them. The why is because God's commanded it. It will transform us, and it will cause us to have a greater appreciation and love for who God is and what God has done. And I feel like tremendous impact will be made in that.
And I mean, and for those of you that are listening or watching, if you are not doing this, and you genuinely start to do it, you will not regret it.
No, I mean,
the
absolutely
more
not.
You get to know God, the more deeper you get to know how, like, things will make more sense.
Yeah,
life will start to make more sense.
Absolutely.
Hardships will start to make more sense.
Yes.
You know, your calling will start to make more sense. I mean, when you get to know who God is, what he has done, what he is calling you to do, how he's equipping you, and what he has, what he's expecting, or what he has coming for us in eternity, all those things, and that's just a limited, like, there's more than that, but in all those things, if you added it up, that would empower you and encourage you and prepare you to whatever it is that we may face
yes.
in this broken world.
Yeah. And we tend to, I think, have a very limited view of the things that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Right. So take, for example, ecclesiology. That's the doctrine of the church, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding church. As you study the scriptures in regards to ecclesiology and the church and what the church is and what the church does and why the church and all, your love and appreciation for God's plan of the church grows. And what comes with that is a greater commitment to, a greater love for, and a greater desire to mm-hmm. serve even within the body of Christ, the church, because there's an understanding of, wow, like, this is God's plan,
yeah.
right? When it comes to the area of, you know, pneumatology and the Spirit of God, and understanding the ministry of the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God works, the role the Spirit mm-hmm. of God plays, your love and care and confidence
yeah.
in the fact that the Spirit of God is within me
yeah.
and what that means for my everyday living goes through the roof. And it's a tremendously impactful yeah. thing. So I would say the why is very clear. What I would encourage people, and even as we kind of bring this to a close, mm-hmm. I think what I would encourage people to make sure that they are guarding against
yeah.
is guarding against what we talked about, studying theology just for the sake of knowledge.
Yeah.
Studying theology just for the sake of, I want to know more than someone else that I'm going to be in a debate with, or mm-hmm. that I'm going to try to correct, or that we want to study theology and understanding of the Word of God and of God so that we can grow in our knowledge of Him for the purpose of greater service to Him, greater understanding of the God that we serve, out of our love for Him.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the analogy of yeah. like a husband and wife that want to know each other mm-hmm. and grow in their knowledge of each other, not for selfish gain or for gain that would be contrary to the calling God has placed on our lives. And it is not in place of being a doer of the word, right? It's so that mm-hmm. being a doer of the word can be done with greater and more precise and impactful understanding so that there's greater results from that. So mm-hmm. we grow in this area so that we cannot be hindered as a doer, but so that we can be greater enhanced as a doer of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people can be guilty of doing the one and not the other.
Yeah.
There are people who are like, no, my focus is understanding theology so that I can teach theology. If we're growing in that area, that should have a direct impact on us being a doer of the
yeah.
word. And,
yeah.
and so we need both. And so yeah. I would encourage people with both.
Yeah. And we're serving. Here's the thing. We get to serve and know a God that is beyond our limited knowledge.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I say that is that you and I on this earth, we will never be able to get to a point where we know all of God.
Yeah.
So the desire for us to study Him should be a desire for every single day, depending on how old you are, how mature you are, how long have you been in the faith. Like, there's not going to come to a point where we will graduate or we will move past getting to know God.
Absolutely. You know? And God's infinite, right? We're mm-hmm. finite. He's infinite. He's, mm-hmm. you know, everlasting to everlasting. And so we will have a limited ability as far as in our knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And God has omniscience, right? He's omniscient. So He knows all things. We don't
yeah.
know all things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're never promised omniscience. You know, I think a lot of people think when we are in eternity that we're going to have omniscience. Well, God is omniscient because He's God. We're never promised to have all knowledge
yeah.
as God has, or all power as
yeah.
God has, or to be everywhere present as God is because He's God and we're not. But I think what comes with that is the desire to be holy as God is
yeah.
holy, to honor God in all areas. And the only way that we can actually pursue that is as we grow in our understanding of who God is
yeah.
and what God would want. And so we can't do that independent
yeah.
of growing in this area.
Yeah.
And so just for people listening, as far as they might be saying, well, where do I even start with
yeah.
this? I would encourage them to start with looking at passages of scripture and seeking some study helps to help
mm-hmm.
give a greater understanding
yeah.
of what you're reading. There are theological resources that are available,
yeah.
Books of theology that you can find, systematic theologies that you can find that go doctrine by doctrine to help you understand and to help you grow in your knowledge of God. I would tell people that they can take, you know, a lot of seminaries even offer free online courses in areas of doctrine that you don't even have to pay for. If you want to grow in your understanding of theology, you can do that. At Maranatha, we have theology studies that we offer, so be watching for that, where we'll be working through a doctrine, a particular area of doctrine that we'll work through as an area of study.
And well, and I would even add to that, like if you're listening and there's an area that you struggle with or that you have more clarity, like ask a Pastor Maranatha.
Absolutely.
They would love to meet with you and walk you through. And we do have resources that we can point your way. So here's some, you know, articles or here's some books or, you know, or let's just meet and talk about it, you know?
Yeah, there are tons of resources available, theological resources for growing and understanding in theology. What I would tell people too is understand man is man, God is God. So no man is going to have everything right. So even as you have a resource that you're studying, don't take whatever someone says in that resource as though it's truth. Search the scriptures.
Infallible word.
Yes, search the scriptures. Make sure that what you're believing is because the scriptures teach it, not because some individual does, right? But God has given wisdom to men and women that can offer insights and offer, you know, understanding of passages and theology that are helpful. So do some digging.
Yeah.
Be diligent. Do the hard work, you know, of knowing and understanding God and trust God as you do that. And I believe you'll see impact for sure. So definitely an important area.
And I will say it, the hope is for all of us, Bruce, myself, and anybody else who's listening, that we will be known we will be known like the believers in Berean, that we will be known for our heart and our desire to know God.
Yes.
And to study him and to apply the things that we learn about him.
Absolutely.
That will be known.
And that has a direct impact on the question we ask, right?
Which
at the conclusion of every Beyond the Pew episode, what does your life look like
beyond the pew?
We hope it honors God.
May be glorifying to the Lord.
We hope it glorifies the Lord. And as we're growing in our knowledge and understanding of God, I believe that have a direct impact on that question, right? On how we live outside the walls of the church.
May be glorifying to the Lord.
Absolutely. We hope you come back next week. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you.